The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. This week, it's just JM and JC.
Mm-hmm.
Not a first name among them. Just a stack of initials.
Just a stack of initials for you here today, folks.
Put together like a bunk bed,
mm-hmm.
which everyone knows is the least fun kind of bed. Once you realize how much fun you can have on one bed.
Exactly.
So, no, we were talking. I never got the opportunity to have my parents kick me out of the house.
Right.
Right? I mean, I did. I guess technically my mom kicked me out when I was 12 and I went to live with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then dad was pretty cool. And I think would have let me stay as long as I needed to, as long as I was in school.
Right.
Or working.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I ran away from home and went to Denver for 10 years.
Yes.
Right. So with that said, though, if one of my kids, and this played out earlier this year, needed somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, you bust your ass, you get them in. I don't give a fuck how old they are.
Huh.
That sort of thing. And so with the scout,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you've done as what I believe a Gen X parent is, you know, is you are allowing the opportunity for the kids to grow as they work their way in through very early adulthood.
Yeah.
Give them somewhere to live and eat and let them mm-hmm. actually build their future, as opposed to the those of our generation who were run off to just kind of figure it the fuck out.
Well, I look back at, and this is where hindsight really helps, because I looked at my own life and yeah, I never got kicked out of the house. It just was time for me to move out.
Yeah.
You know, and so I moved out and I had a full-time job that paid me the minimum wage of the time, which was like $4.25 an hour.
Yeah.
I could afford an apartment.
Yeah.
Barely, but I could afford one. I don't see how you afford an apartment now. I don't understand how you and Tiffany afford an apartment right now.
We don't.
It is so much fucking money to rent.
Yep.
It is ridiculous how bad it is. And in my opinion, there's no reason, you know, I mean, my kid pulls his weight here. He works hard. He goes to work every day, puts in a full 8-hour day. Fixing small engines and sharpening chainsaws and stuff. He does the slog every single day. And I'm like, well, you've got the money. I said, yeah, you could be saving up for, you know, the big down payment on a house. But honestly, we don't know what the housing market's going to look like by the time you have that money saved up.
Housing market needs a crash.
Yeah. I said, but if you want to, I said, here's one thing. I'm now able to get things that I wanted in my 20s, in my 50s. I'm not going to enjoy them the way I would have in my 20s.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself in your 20s. Enjoy your 20s better than you could have if you also had the overhead of exorbitant rent in this state.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A single bedroom apartment can cost you up to $1,500.
Yeah.
Who the fuck? He doesn't even earn that, you know, basically. I guess he earns that. But that's all he'd be able to pay for is his rent. He'd be coming over here every day to steal food from me, you know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, might as well let him steal the food with a much shorter walk.
Exactly.
Because he'd be walking.
Yep.
Yep.
No, so yeah, he bought himself an Indian Chief, yeah. Brand new Indian Chief, a sport, I guess Indian Chief Sport is what it is.
It's a good looking bike.
It's a Chief, but it's not as big as a regular Chief.
Well, so it's not kitted out for touring. It's right, not a touring exactly. model.
Exactly.
Which is what, now, if I were in that position to where you were my daddy,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would have got the bigger.
Right. You would have got the touring model.
Yeah. Because yeah. that's just me. I'm big.
Mm-hmm. No, I would be looking at a bigger, like a touring model bike as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I need something to carry this fat ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. You put a fat ass on a small bike, you look ridiculous.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. We got a guy who drives by the shop every day. Not a customer, I would, or you know, or I wouldn't be making fun of him, but
right.
this dude, I need you to time travel with me for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Going back.
Second, third grade, give or take, Scholastic comes in. For some reason, mm-hmm. we all buy a huge, fat, Les Miserables, unabridged-sized copy of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes.
Yes. And in that were two rotund gentlemen on teeny tiny motorcycles. The world's fattest twins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember them?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what this guy looks like driving by on his little 350 Shadow every day. But by God, the guy's got somewhere to be, and so he does it. And I salute him. But I just don't want to look like that.
Yeah. He's got work to do on the Shadow. He's got the Shadow as well. He's got work to do on the Shadow. But he didn't sell it. He wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, if that's what you want.
You never know. You never know. The shadow has a windscreen I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. So. And as he learned with this one, a windscreen he likes too, because he had to take a late night. He was riding and he wound up late at night, so he couldn't wear the sunglasses that cover his eyes. They're actually shop glasses.
Yeah.
You know, safety goggles. The cover his eyes, but they're these big dark safety glasses, and he had to just take them off for his regular glasses, thinking he'd be okay. No, he's like me. The wind hits your eyes, they just start to run and dry out and everything, and he's like, I need a full coverage helmet now if I'm gonna ride at night. I'm like, yeah, here you are.
I'd rather he was in a full faced helmet all the time.
Yes,
but you know, that's just the parent in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the old bike rider in me from his 20s,
yes,
wore the exact same fucking coverage helmet, or a three-quarter helmet. Mm-hmm. You know, mine was not the German version. Mine was just a three-quarter bucket with flames on it, which my ex just hated and made me love it even more. In fact, I probably wore it as much as I did because she hated it.
Because she hated it. Yeah.
Regardless, I had a hard time. Because you remember back before the hair thinned, I used to wear quite a Conan-esque, pompadour.
Yes.
Yes, and if you put a helmet on that, you're no longer wearing a pompadour. You're wearing helmet hair.
Yep.
So.
Well, you rode quite often without a helmet, at least around town. Or
like
local,
a moron.
Like a moron.
But
for Angus, at least, I mean, yeah, he knows he's got a three-quarter helmet. He himself, I didn't have to prompt this. His mother didn't have to prompt this. He won't take the bike on the freeway until he's got a full coverage helmet.
Aww. Yep. It just warms my heart.
Yep. There's some brains in action there, and he doesn't want to lose them. That's the best part by riding. And I wonder if that doesn't come from the new motorcycle riding class.
Maybe.
You know.
I wonder if they showed him videos. Ugh.
Yeah.
I once watched.
Generation, like our generation, my mother always commented how I automatically put a seatbelt on. That was never taught to her. I automatically put a seatbelt on no matter what. And she's like, you learned that in driver's ed because I know I didn't teach it to you. And it's not something I do automatically. And you just put it on immediately as soon as you get in the car. And I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I think the same thing came from that motorcycle riding class he took, because they instill in you, you put your helmet on first, just like you put your seatbelt on first when you're driving a car. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had my moment of clarity, I mean, very late into my life, but was just like, I need to wear a helmet. And it was around about the time that I started wearing helmets all the time that I discovered earplugs.
Yeah.
Holy shit, changed. I had been riding for 20 years before I ever plugged an earplug into my fucking skull while riding. And all of a sudden, it's like, this is like relaxing.
this is a game changer.
Just cathartic, yeah. Which a motorcycle ride has always been for me. This was like, it was fucking relaxing. And then after a while, I dummied up my own earphone/earplug system, you know, with some smaller earphones that I could meld in there. And
this was pre-earbud. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still have those. Yeah. And then I had earplugs blocking all the wind noise and I could hear my music nice. And, you know, about the only problem was is when you ran out of music and we were using antique MP3 players, it just stopped, didn't move on to the next thing. So you were listening to an album and then you're stuck until you stop again. But no, man, I miss riding. I almost bought a bike, about 3-4 years ago and just could not get the last minute financing put together, but it was a big, beautiful bike. Angus knows which one I wanted. Yeah. I almost bought. He sends me pictures every once in a while of, hey, look what you don't have. I don't, maybe that's not why he does it, but
no, he does it to say, hey, you like bikes. Check out this bike. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you like this bike. Here's this one.
Yep.
Maybe you know, I mean, that's just it. And what we learned yesterday, he compared the onboard computer on his bike, which sounds so weird to say, can pair his phone and his earbuds together.
Yep.
So he can have music. He can, the heads up will tell him what song is up, or he can do skip and everything with a control on his handlebar. And he's got the music playing in his ear. Plus, you know, he's got the outside noise he can hear if he needs to. So,
yeah. No, I'll wrap this up by just once again complimenting. You know, I know Angus pretty well. I don't know your daughter very well because she's very shy and won't talk to me. But you know, I'm always impressed with Angus. He's such a good kid. He's so fucking smart. And you know, I think he's a handsome young lad, which is one of the reasons I want him to keep on that full faced helmet.
Yes,
is to keep that beauty intact. but no, your kids have always impressed the shit out of me. They're fun. Funny.
Cheers.
Yeah. So, you know, pass that along in lieu of birthday presents.
Yes. Because a lot of that came on his own. He had other people to teach him the wisdom that I could not impart upon him. As much as I tried to say, this is where I fucked up. Don't do this. you know, I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, one day I said, look, I know you get tired of me telling you all this stuff, but I'm trying to tell you what my mistakes were. Because then you can have your own mistakes that you can learn from. You don't need to repeat mine.
Yeah.
When I see you heading down a road toward one of my mistakes, I will tell you, and I will tell you how to avoid it so that when a mistake comes that I have no experience with, you can have that experience of figuring it out.
Yeah.
Because it is a growth experience to actually figure out, I fucked up. Here's how I fix it. You know, how do I fix it? And you figure it out. That's a great growth experience, but I don't think he needs to figure out all of my growth experiences.
No, my kids kind of used my growth experiences as a roadmap to dipshit. So, you know, that was it. With the older kid, we lied to him. Or no, we didn't lie to him. We were very honest with him about life.
Oh, that's...
And he used it as a roadmap. And then the younger kids, having been lied to... were told the stories they weren't told by their brother and then follow those as a roadmap as well. You know?
Yes.
No, it sucks, man. I got wicked smart kids and they're all in their own little worlds of difficulty right now.
Yep.
But, that aside, now that we've talked for 15 minutes about somebody else's stuff, Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General, he's going to an impeachment trial. In the Texas Senate.
His own.
His very own.
For that matter. He's not presiding over one. He's going to one. It's his.
Yes, he is. he's a bad fella.
Yep.
And he's done some dumbass things. When even Texas Republicans are like, you know what? That's enough.
We need to get you out.
Yep.
When a Texas Republican looks at another Texas Republican and says, you need to go, this guy's a piece of shit.
He really
is. To it.
Oh no, he is a glorious piece of shit is what he is. Since taking office in 2015 as Attorney General, Paxton's been beset by a series of scandals. He requested $3.3 million in state funds to pay a settlement with whistleblowers that he illegally fired.
Like you do.
Yeah. I mean, you fuck up and then you go to your Republican fellas that are trying to basically take food away from poor kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, when we're done making sure the poor are hungry, can I have some of that to pay off my fuck up? But yeah, it's basically he's accused of abuse of office, bribery, and improper influence. He's got a rich buddy named Nate, and he's done a lot of favors and swung a lot of money towards Nate. Nate gives gifts like $20,000 countertops.
Yeah, Nate likes him.
Yeah.
He takes care of Nate, and Nate takes care of him. That's all there is to it.
The last countertop I bought was $80. And it looked like it was made of rock, but it was beaver board. Just saying, there's a huge difference between me and a Republican attorney general.
The last countertop I bought was for a set, so it was just made of plywood.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, because I didn't, you know, it doesn't have to actually hold up for more than a few weeks of a show.
Yep.
I've never had to buy a countertop for my home or anything like that. So yeah, no, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually bought a few and then got bored with that at the last house and just started making my own out of pine.
Mm-hmm.
Pine and epoxy. And it ends up looking really pretty. I'm still pretty proud of the bathrooms I built over at the old house. I did a lot of work in there. I think they turned out kind of pretty, if weird. Leah Remini is angry at Scientology for what they have basically found out is trying to cover up the rapes of Danny Masterson. Mm-hmm. Danny Masterson, as we find out on the comic book show tomorrow, we know has been sentenced to 30 to life for raping two people. That were in Scientology with him. And it took so long for it to come out because apparently Scientology was helping to cover it up.
Well, there's a rule in Scientology that you break the cult if you report another member of Scientology to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And you will face all kinds of consequences for doing that. And, you know, we see this here in Utah all the time with the LDS church. Covering shit up and sweeping shit under the rug, and it's the same thing. And Leah Remini's over here going, hey, I've been complaining about this for years, and they have tried to ruin me, ruin my career, ruin everything about me because I spoke out against them.
Yeah.
And for once we're seeing, you know, finally she was there in his sentencing hearing. That's hardcore. She went to a sentencing hearing to say, look, that's it. You know, this is exactly the problem with Scientology. Yeah.
Jim Jordan's back at it, looking for documents from Jack Smith's dealings with an attorney in Trump's classified records fight. Jordan on Thursday asked Jack Smith to turn over information relating to attorney Stanley Woodward, who's represented numerous Mar-a-Lago employees in dealings with prosecutors. Woodward is in the middle of a battle with the Justice Department as it seeks the so-called Garcia hearing to review potential conflicts as Woodward represents Walt Nalta, Trump's co-defendant in the classified records case. Letter comes a day after Woodward noted in court filings that another prior client, Mar-a-Lago IT worker Yonsel Taveras, signed a cooperation agreement with Jack Smith and the gang. Yep. So basically, it looks like the deal that was made was that Taveras tells the truth and doesn't get in trouble for lying before.
Yes.
At which point, everybody freaks the fuck out. Trump hosted a $100,000 per person fundraiser to help Giuliani pay for his legal bills. They said, which is funny, that they wanted to raise more than $1 million for Giuliani's defense. which would mean about 10 people showed up to the $100,000 a plate event. And it turns out, from rumors I heard online last night, about 10 people showed up.
Well, he called the right 10 people, I guess.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back on the other side, we've got international news.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N Media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Before we do international news, let's talk about the election.
Yes.
A little bit. We've got Trump leading the field in most polls. No, in all polls. He's leading in all polls. But depending on the poll, it's either 30 to 40 points ahead of anybody else. However, Vivek Ramaswamy, who needs a punch in the mouth.
Yes.
And Nikki Haley, who definitely needs therapy. They're both surging inside of their 5% that anybody else has. Because while Trump may be 30 points ahead of everyone, he's still in the 30s. Everybody else is just in single digits. And nobody seems to be going above 5%. To the point that you've got almost in the Republican electorate right now for primary voters, you've got almost 20% that don't know who the fuck they want to vote for. Right. And that's of people that vote habitually. You know? That's the delegates. So 20% are like, fuck, I don't know. And 35% are like, well, we're going for him. And 70% of those think that the election was stolen. You break down these percentages and they feel like these unsurmountable numbers of people that we couldn't possibly combat with messaging and et cetera and blah, blah, blah. And the truth is it's like, nah, man, this is a hard vocal minority that makes a lot of fucking noise. And the truth is that persuadable voters still exist. And it's our job as progressives to take that deep breath, to put our exclamation points back into our pocket, and to explain to people just how fucking awesome Joe Biden is.
Yes.
You know? I mean, that's really what comes down to.
But, you know, I just see Trump's the recognizable clown in the clown car that is the this group of Republicans. I mean, I can't take any of them seriously. I looked at each one of them. I said, no, I can't take any of you seriously. None of you are fit to be president. None of you will do anything that helps the American people except for the 1% of the wealthy American people.
Yeah.
And most of you have are just pandering to the lunatic fringe because that's who you think are going to come and vote for you. Yeah.
Federal judges said Tuesday they'll draft new congressional lines for Alabama after lawmakers once again refused to create a second district where black voters can at least come close to compromising a majority.
Mm-hmm.
In blocking the newly drawn congressional map, the three-judge panel wrote that they are deeply troubled that Alabama lawmakers flouted their instructions to create a second majority black district or something close to it. The panel directed a court-appointed special master to submit three proposed new maps by the end of the month. Quote, the law requires the creation of an additional district that affords black Alabamians, like everyone else, a fair and reasonable opportunity to elect candidates of their choice. The 2023 plan plainly fails to do so, the judges wrote in their ruling. Alabama indicated in a court filing that it'll ask the Supreme Court, which previously upheld the panel's findings in the case, to put the order on hold while it appeals. Quote, said Alabama Attorney General Steve White Guy Marshall, quote, we are disappointed in today's decision. We strongly believe that the legislator's map complies with the Voting Rights Act, and which I'm surprised even knew existed, and the recent decision of the United States Supreme Court. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yep. It would really be nice to get fucking gerrymandering under fucking control.
I don't know that that's going to happen, but
no.
We'll see.
No, yep. But it really should be, man. It should be every state, regardless of who, what party is running the show, should absolutely have independent redistricting.
Yes.
It's a fucking no-brainer. It is the dumbest thing I've ever had to say out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but it's up there.
Should
the dumbest
happen,
thing I ever had to tell was a candidate who, while we were doing real good on his election, popped up with an idea at the last minute that the 100-some-odd hours we had put into a rousing video with good music and wonderful graphics to play at his nomination. He's like, how about instead I come out with a guitar and play Imagine? And it's like, oh, okay. I have to totally reevaluate this piece of shit that I decided to work for. Because he is obviously some kind of moron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Turned out he was a skis. Oops.
Oopsie.
Yeah. I got somebody elected that turned out to be just skullduggerous.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Hey, speaking of pure skullduggerous, former President Donald Trump decided to do some fundraising with his mugshot, putting it on T-shirts and mugs and everything. And this being the mugshot of when he surrendered to Georgia authorities for a whole bunch of felony counts and RICO statute. And then he put the mugshot over the caption. And I quote this with no sense of irony, because they don't have one. Never surrender. Mm-hmm. Causing on each mug a paradox in which the picture of him having surrendered was above the words never surrender, causing zero headaches among the non-thinking Republican fans of this absolute fucking broken toolbox of a human being. Because what can you do with a broken toolbox? Not one fucking thing.
Not a damn thing.
It's just always hanging around looking at you. Oh, my broken tangerine toolbox. Anyway, so the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, basically Georgia's like, excuse me. Sorry. We own that picture.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to make money, you know, off the accoutrement, the paraphernalia, if you will, of a crime.
Yep. That is the property of the people of Georgia.
Yep.
In fact, when they present it and present anything like that, they'll call it the People's Exhibit, you know, because it's their property now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump campaign has raised $9.4 million since his mugshot was taken at the Fulton County Jail, according to Trump spokesman Steve Chang, who says they've made $1.7 million off selling T-shirts with the mugshot printed on them. From Betsy Rosenblatt from Georgia, she says, you're prohibited from using it for a number of things without authorization. You're prohibited from reproducing it, making a derivative work of it, distributing it without authorization, or that is to say, distributing anything that isn't the one copy you already lawfully have, and various other things. Making a public display of it, making it a public performance of it, which opens up all kinds of fascinating possibilities here. Rosenblatt laid out the Fulton County Sheriff's Office, who owns the copyright, would have to decide if they want to pursue legal action against Trump. I think they should, for no other reason than everybody gets to play.
Yeah, I think the Trump organization owes them, what was that, $1.7 million?
Let's call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they owe that. I think that's what should be paid back to the state of Georgia.
Mitch McConnell has a threat for Americans. He's saying that while he may not finish this sentence, he will finish his term. I'm wondering how much of his term will be spent and a little, you know, the little, what's the little spinny wheel?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How much of it is he going to spend buffering?
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to know.
It's what, just pick a buffering wheel. That's him right there. Yep.
I'm gonna finish my term.
Yep.
Smells like toast.
Somebody was talking about how Mitt Romney was in support of him staying in office, and they were saying it with like some surprise, and I'm like, look, I know Mitt is the current rebel Republican. I'm using air quotes on rebel.
They were really well formed.
Yeah, but I'm like over here going, well, yeah, but Mitt's a Mormon. They're used to having old guys that have no business being in charge, keeping them propped up and barely alive. You know?
I'm the prophet. Get off my lawn. That's God's lawn. And he doesn't want your homos on my lawn. Homos?
Homos?
Yeah. I'll finish my term.
I can't speak. Yep. Yeah. And they just keep him. They have to physically die before they replace him in any way. And he's over here going, well, he's got to physically die, doesn't he, before we can replace him. Yeah.
In a shot heard absolutely nowhere, but apparently the left show.
Mm-hmm.
13 presidential libraries dating back to Herbert fucking Hoover. All signed a letter saying, hey, democracy's in trouble.
What?
Yeah, released. The statement was released on Thursday. This is the first time the libraries have ever joined together to make any kind of a public declaration. Said Americans have a strong interest in supporting democratic movements and human rights around the world because, quote, free societies elsewhere contribute to our own security and prosperity here at home. But that interest, it said dramatically in a letter no one read, is undermined when others see our own house in disarray. Because nothing so chides a member of Congress like a fancy pants word like disarray.
Yes.
Oh, Jim Jordan, he's just, it's like throwing sparklers in his eyes. He's like, oh, disarray.
I'll have things in disarray.
I'll behave. You bet. I didn't know we were all the way to disarray. Hey, Kevin McCarthy. Hey, buddy. Let's walk this back. Matt Gaetz is like, you know what? I'm going to turn myself in for raping that kid. I mean, it's just pandemonium because of disarray.
Tommy Tuberville is ready to step down because of disarray.
I'm Tommy Tuberville. Give me an abortion.
Yeah, exactly.
Disarray.
We can't have disarray.
Yeah, needless to say that I feel that the banding together of 13 presidential libraries to chide us on shit we already fucking know.
Yep.
It's just not really, it's not, there's no part of it that's hitting an audience that is not receptive to it already.
Mm-hmm.
Just based by the word library.
Very, very specific echo chamber there.
Only the literate is going to be there listening and reading your letter, which isn't the problem. The literate seems to be doing okie dokie.
Yep.
You know, they're not the ones that are afraid of Dark Brandon, whereas we realize that Dark Brandon is nothing more than a reflection of our own superheroic tendencies. Mm-hmm. As liberals, progressives, mm-hmm. truth, justice, the American way. No, not your American way, Nazi. Sit down. Our American
way. Our American way.
Speaking of our American way and ways that it can fail us, Georgia's special grand jury recommended charges against 39 people, one of them being Senator Lindsey Graham, and then they didn't.
Yep.
So, okay.
Too afraid to go after Lindsey, huh?
Yep. 19 people ultimately charged by prosecutors, leaving South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham among those not indicted. Should Honestly, I wonder if after the grand jury came back and said he should be indicted, the lawyers that had to stick around after the grand jury left were just like, "Ooh boy, I don't know I can take that many months of clutched pearls." Why don't we let this one go just in the interests of self-preservation? You know, because the last thing you need is a prosecutorial team that's, you know, with a mass suicide pact because Lindsey Graham's so fucking annoying.
I think it should be, you know, I thought, well, they could go one of two ways. They could start at the bottom, convicting all the little guys, you know.
Yeah.
Giuliani, all these different little guys that really weren't part of the, you know, didn't have a position or an office, and then work their way up through Lindsey Graham up to Trump. Or they go after the big dog at the top and his cronies. And then once they've got that conviction secured, they can then go after Lindsey Graham and all these other guys.
Hope so.
I hope that's the case.
But I'm glad they're going after the top of the tier
in this country. So we'll find out.
I have very little hope. I'm not hopeful.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll get back on the other side. We'll get to that international news I promised you earlier.
Ooh.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Steve Harwell and Gary Wright.
Hey, now?
Danny Masterson was sentenced to 30 years.
Good.
Very good.
In moving pictures, Star Trek Day hit last Friday.
But not very hard.
Jimmy Fallon apologized to his staff.
As he needed to.
Samuel L. Jackson will play the president.
To uphold and support the Constitution, motherfucker.
In comic books, Batman's villains are teaming up. A Gotham Academy alumni was revealed as a new superhero.
Ta-da.
Review Parker Girls, Birds of Prey, Ms. Marvel, The New Mutant, Daredevil and Echo, and Huxley's Brave New World. All that in New York Comic Con. Face Front, True Believers, is the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
That Obama wasn't the first president to get to say motherfucker will always be a missing part of his legacy.
Yes.
And we might as well just start talking.
Yes.
You know, the commercial's over. Wasn't that a great commercial? What a fun commercial, huh?
What a wonderful commercial.
Yeah, we sure do like making those. Yeah, fuck, I don't know. It's been one of my weirder weeks where things have how do I put this without putting out any details whatsoever? So friends have come to my rescue again, which is just brilliant. And I'm so delighted with them. I can't for the life of me imagine what the fuck I've done in my life to deserve the wonderful people that surround me. But
I can, but you know.
Oh, you just know that I'm the kind of guy that had common courtesy of a reach around. So I won't finish the whole quote because I don't have Arlie Ermey's charisma anymore. I do so many of other people's stories to tell and things I want to keep. But fuck, man, I'm a lucky guy. Overall, I'm a lucky guy that a lot of bad luck things happen to, I think I should put it. And I don't know if that's the universe trying to find balance with the fact that I have all these people in my life that I just fucking adore, or, you know, is it
a little bit of both?
Yeah. Or am I paying off the good time I had in my 20s, which doesn't seem fair as I don't remember the bulk of it. not due to drug use or drinking, but because I had 3 TBIs in my 20s. I remember very little of basically the ages 16 through 27 or so. There's very little going on there, and it's fun. It's fun. That was when I was doing Tell Me a Story. It turned into sort of a self-discovery of me talking to old friends and them releasing details that once hit would allow broken brain paths in my head to heal and cause me to remember really cool shit. And the more I remember, the more I realize how fucking lucky I was to, again, be that goddamn naive and dumb as I was when I left Utah at 17, you know, to move to Denver. But basically, yeah, it was, I fell in and constantly fall in with people that are just fucking there and awesome. And I'm pretty happy about it. So I had overall, while my stress levels were high and my emotions were exposed, I had a very, very good week. Just moments of placid calm amid panic attacks. Because don't get me wrong, the overall is still pretty shitty, but I was reminded that it's not as bad as I think it is sometimes. And that was very nice. That was very nice. And so with all that said, I have more news.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So Twitter has been accused of helping Saudi Arabia commit human rights abuses.
Of course.
Yeah. Lawsuit says the network discloses user data at the request of Saudi authorities at a much higher rate than for the United States, the UK, or Canada.
They know what side their bread is buttered on. That's for sure.
Yep.
It's like Saudi's like, oh, no, we give you all this money. Oh, okay.
I mean,
Here are your user details, sir. Yeah.
Of the coalition he put together to buy the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I just get one teeny tiny little investigation into Jared Kushner getting $2 billion from Saudi investors?
Right.
Can I have that, please? Don't get me wrong. Keep looking into Hunter Biden. Keep looking into the fact that the president has a fuck up kid.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. You know, we all kind of know it.
He was not ever a member of a cabinet or part of the presidential staff.
Nope.
Or vice presidential staff when he was up to his shenanigans. He's never held public office. And yet they're pulling all this shit. And meanwhile, I'm looking back at the Trump kids making millions while being part of the presidential staff, and then the $2 billion that Hunter Biden got, or not Hunter Biden, Jared Kushner got when he left, when Trump left office, it was like, what? Why aren't we looking into this? If this is justice, why? Oh, because he's your guy and not, and Biden is not. That's why. Yeah.
So the lawsuit
tells me that your hunt for justice is entirely bullshit and fake outrage. Yeah.
The lawsuit was brought in May against X.
Mm-hmm.
As Twitter is now known, by Al-Rij al-Sadhan, a sister of a Saudi aid worker who was forcibly disappeared and then later sentenced to 20 years in jail. It centers upon the events surrounding the infiltration of the California company by three Saudi agents, two of whom were posing as Twitter employees in 2014 and 15, which ultimately led to the arrest of Al-Sadan's brother, the exposure of the identity of thousands of anonymous Twitter users, some of whom were later reportedly detained and tortured as part of the government's crackdown on dissent. Lawyers for Al-Sadan updated their claim last week to include new allegations about how Twitter, under the leadership of Jack Dorsey, willfully ignored or had knowledge of the Saudi government's campaign to ferret out critics, but because of financial considerations and efforts to keep close ties to the Saudi government, a top investor in the company provided assistance to the kingdom. So Twitter got people killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the last of that theme you're going to get today. Elon Musk blocked Ukraine's access to Starlink in the area near Crimea after Russian officials asked him to. He blocked Ukraine from using Starlink for an attack on the Black Fleet, the Black Sea Fleet. SpaceX admitted to limiting Ukraine's use of Starlink satellites for offensive military operations. So this guy in America, who claims to love America so much that he's fucking around with its basic tenant, who buys Twitter like a moron, has basically cut its valuation by 70%, makes money in America, drives on American road, drinks clean American water, breathes our very polluted air, let's be honest.
Yes.
And then turns around and decides he gets to choose. He gets to choose. He gets to make foreign policy in Ukraine by propping up Putin in Russia.
Yep.
Because Putin asked him to. Where the fuck are the cops? Why are they knocking down the fucking door? It's time to go, Elon. You've committed treason against a country you claim to be a citizen of now. Does he not? Doesn't he have American citizenship? I don't know. I don't give a shit. I hope not. We can just kick him out. How about we do that? Let's just boot him. Back to the blood mines, Elon.
Yep, back to the blood mines.
Back to the blood mines. An ailing American explorer is trapped 3,000 feet deep in a Turkish cave awaiting a rescue. Rescuers from across Europe rushed to a cave in Turkey on Thursday, launching an operation to save an American researcher who became trapped almost 1,000 meters below the cave's entrance after suffering stomach bleeding. Experienced caver Mark Dickey, 40, became ill during an expedition with a handful of others, including three other Americans, in the Morka Cave in southern Turkey's Taurus Mountains. While rescuers, including a Hungarian doctor, have reached and treated Dickey, it's going to be a while, up to weeks possibly, before they're able to actually move him out of the cave because he's kind of fucked up. And there's places that are too narrow for a stretcher to go through. In a video message from inside the cave and made available Thursday by Turkey's communications directorate, Dickey thanked the caving community and the Turkish government for their efforts, saying, "The caving world is a really tight-knit group, but it's amazing to see how many people have responded on the surface. I do know that the quick response of the Turkish government to get the medical supplies that I need, in my opinion, saved my life. I was very close to the edge." This is cool. I mean, this is some cool shit.
Yeah.
You know, somebody in a community just setting aside all international, you know, political ties, a dude in a community needs help, and a bunch of people go 3,000 feet under the fucking dirt to help him out.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful story. It's a story that I appreciate. I really, really do.
I'm like, if more than just Dickie got sick, it's like, what was the common thing that got them all suddenly bleeding in the stomach? You know,
yeah.
What spicy thing did they eat? What What bad food do they eat? What happened to them? That's my question as an outdoorsman. It's like, well, what did you have so I can avoid having it myself, you know?
Yeah. I believe in this case, it's, you know, extreme sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I caved a bit in my teens. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to do it, and I wish I could have done it more. But the truth is, once I filled in, I couldn't cave anymore. I got stuck once in a cave up Timpanogos for hours while I waited to sweat off enough weight that I could actually fit through where I'd gotten myself stuck. Mm-hmm. And it was, without a doubt, probably the worst 5 hours of my life. I mean, it was terrifying.
I'm terrified, right? Just hearing it. Yep. Yeah, my claustrophobia is going, no fucking way. No, yep. No.
No, it was fucking awful. I haven't been back in a cave since. You know, yeah. That was it. I was like, oh, the earth herself is telling me something. You don't fit here, big fella. Mm-hmm. That was before I was fat.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, now, Christ, I could look at a cave. But I'd be afraid to get through Timpanogos at this point. Actually, let's be honest. I doubt I could make the fucking climb right now. But that's just it, man. As I spent some time with cavers, I went to a couple of National Speleological Society conventions, you know, back when I was in my 20s. And what a wonderful group of people that drink an awful lot of beer.
Yes.
So much beer. On the surface. But they do. Okay. That is about it. Short show this week. My apologies.
Yeah.
You know, now you get it in bite-sized format. You can go ahead with the rest of your day. What we're going to do now is cut out of here and go over to Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. That's where we do every week that we record. We're over there. You guys heard that in the first commercial break where we talked about how important Patreon is. And then this is where we give you a little reminder on your way out of the show that you too can go over to patreon.com/DFenMedia, DEFENMedia. You know, give a little, get a lot. Get a lot. There's a lot of new tools coming on Patreon that I got to work with make some changes and some cool shit like that. And I swear to you, I know I've been promising this all year, but it looks like we're going to have two new shows, hopefully, before Thanksgiving.
Nice.
You know, we're going to do I Told You So. We had a really aggressive plan. Would you say that's right? We had a really aggressive plan for it that is a little bit more than I have the time to chew on right now. So we're just going to do a little restructure on that. Still going to be fun. Still going to be me and Tiffany talking about ourselves, which everybody wants to hear, I'm sure. Yay.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Get in there and listen.
Yep. It will be. But then, I got a couple more surprises up my sleeve. We'll see how much of that I can pull off. I did threaten a fundraiser. It looks like that's going to have to happen. I usually like to only do those once a year. But to be honest, the calendar's come around, and it's almost that year now. So,
Yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully you guys can help out on that. Those of you that have already helped, thank you so much for your continued support. This is the 615th episode of The Left Show.
Dear God.
And I'm still angry. And I guess that means we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Sound good, buddy?
Sounds good to me.
All right. In the meantime, let's all go do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.